So let's start. Welcome back, Mahavir Prabhu, after a long time. We'll just briefly review what we covered last class, last session. We did like few verses, right? Nine. From 11, right?
Yeah.
No.
Nine?
From nine?
Nine to thirty.
Okay. So we'll just review. Hare Krishna. Verse number 9. So Krishna is saying, even though he is in charge of creation and destruction of the material world, he does also called activities. He does this work, doesn't bind him. He doesn't get reactions, right? That's verse number 9. How is it that he doesn't get reactions?
He
doesn't seek anything from this world. So when we want to enjoy for ourselves, we have to face the reactions. But because he doesn't want anything to enjoy, because he is a Supreme Lord, he doesn't get reactions. Text number 10. 9.10. Yes, Mataji, you were saying.
How is he neutral?
How is he neutral? Because it's happening because of his energies. Okay, just because of his will, everything is happening. Then Prabhupada gives example of this fragrant flower. What is the analogy?
Flower, when it is near you, you smell it, for example. You are indirectly touching it, but not physically touching it. Similarly, Krishna's will is happening, but is not involved in day-to-day. He is staying neutral for all this.
He glances through the material nature and then living entities are produced, but he doesn't touch directly. Okay, text number 11. So Krishna is saying, then if Krishna is so glorious that, you know, such a magnanimous personality, then why people don't accept him? Why all people don't accept him? Then he's talking, those people who don't accept him are fools. Because they, when Krishna comes in human-like form, what do they think? He's one among them. So either they bring themselves to his level or they bring him down to his level, their level. So it's elaborate purport Srila Prabhupada gives, talking about different supernatural qualities of exhibited by Krishna, activities by Krishna, right? Supernatural. Okay. Text superhuman. Text number 12. So what happens to these people?
Their endeavors are defeated.
If they want liberation, if they want fruitive activities, or if they want knowledge, basically Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Kanda and Dhyana Yoga, all of them without devotion, it's not going to be useful, because ultimately it's going to get frustrated. Okay, so then what, text number 13? We discussed this, right? Okay. So they want to, but the people who are not deluded, they have full faith that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they surrender to Krishna, and they want only exclusively Shyam Sundar Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan also, within among different forms of Krishna. So that is very exclusive. You know, we discuss how love is exclusive, right? Now we discuss about school, we have college met or something, we fall in love. Even if, we fall in love because of curly hair or something, because he doesn't walk properly sometimes. some weird reasons we fall in love, but we still want only that person, right? Like, because that's the nature of love, it's blind, but here it's, that's the nature of love. Okay. So about to say something. Yeah, accepting Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is one incident with Srila Prabhupada. I think it originally created the GBC men, right? 13 members were there, or some number of members were there. So once he invited all of them into his room and he asked one question. Because now they are going to become gurus, and Prabhupada was giving them the right to initiate and on his behalf and accept disciples, because he wants to focus on writing books. And it's also coming nearer to, I think he wants to just exclusively focus on writing books. So he called everybody into his room and he asked, how many of you accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead? Nobody raised their hands. Everybody bent their head low. So saying, he's, because he's that accepting Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead is not only theoretical, it's realization. Now fully, you know, accepting Krishna Supreme, that means all your activities should represent that. We cannot just say and activities do something else. Like, you know, okay, once in a while do Ganesh Puja, once in a while do Shiva Puja. That means we are not fully accepting Krishna as Supreme Personality of God. Then, he said, unless you have full conviction, you cannot give that conviction to others. Because now you are going to be gurus. You have to take disciples. So, you should first have that full conviction. Then you can pass on to others. That's what he told, no? For us also, we so much hear Supreme Personality of God, but we don't accept it fully. No, our faith has to grow. So, text number 14. So, we'll discuss this. So, further qualities and activities of Mahatmas.
We believe that Krishna is the person of God. Of course, we do different things because we don't remember that all the time. We don't follow that. But we don't pray other gods.
Yeah, that's okay. That is one level. That is explicitly, you know, like how we have this gross sense enjoyment, subtle sense enjoyment, right? Gross sense enjoyment, explicitly you can see that somebody is indulging. Like, you know, there is gross sex and subtle sex, right? Like that, similarly, you know, this is, you can explicitly see if somebody is worshipping Ganesha or something, you can see day to day, you know, if you come stay in their home for 1 year, you'll know, you know, or during that particular period, you'll know. But subtly, you know, how... Do we have full faith, like for some incident happens, where do we take shelter? Is the shelter, of course, maybe it's Krishna and things related to Krishna, and sometimes it's our mind, maybe, you know, colleagues or somebody else, we take shelter, right? We don't take shelter of devotees. Sometimes people want to take shelter of their, you know, material friends, thinking, you know, they are good in the business or whatever, right? I will ask him how to deal with this financial situation, but they may not take shelter of devotees. That itself shows where is our faith. If we believe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should have full faith that through his devotees, he is going to help me in whatever situation I am in. Right?
So, like for example, I'm just, when we bought the house, right? I took the help of my other engineering friend. So, is it something not right?
No, that is not taking shelter, right?
I took financial help.
Yeah, financial help is okay. We can take help. Actually, Prabhupada said, no, we should employ people wherever they are expert in and use them in Krishna service. He said like that. But taking shelter is different. It's a matter of heart. It's not, you know, that's why, you know, there is a difference between hearing and listening. These are the two terms. I don't know. Yes, you know, one is just using the instrument. One is using the heart. No, like we hear so many things, but only few things we let it apply to our heart. Only when we submit to them, when we trust that source and when we know it's a trustworthy relationship and their beneficiary and their well-wisher, that's when we open the heart and let the message go inside. Otherwise, we just, you know, oh, I know, yeah, you know, friends also we make relationship, but, you know, we hear same time, amount of time we spend, but it's not like, you know, we invest our heart in that. So that's what, you know, we can take their help, but... financially like that, but are we taking shelter of them? In the sense, like, you know, I'm not asking anybody's, you know, of course, they're overall, you're consulting with us, right? You know, what's going to do? What do we do in this situation? Should we take house in the first place? So, it's all under direction. So, that's okay. Okay. So, then this verse is very nice. Krishna is talking about qualities or activities of Mahatmas, so we can judge ourselves and we can get some examples. Text number 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yadantascha drudavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So the qualities of Mahatmas are, they always chant Krishna's glories. They endeavor with great determination. That means they never lax or anything. They, okay, now I'm done. Now I'm initiated. Now I'm chanting 16 rounds. Now enough. Bowing down before me. And these great souls perpetually, always they worship me with devotion. So in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada gives many other points. So, like, you know, I've marked all these points in bullets. So maybe I will try to read it myself because we are going to jump lines. So, okay, I'll just try to point out. So, if you can get it, you get it. Otherwise, you can hear. So, third line in the first paragraph. So, So these are all qualities of Mahatmas as pointed by Srila Prabhupada. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. So he is always engaged in glorifying the Lord. So he doesn't like to glorify somebody else. That means he doesn't like to glorify somebody else, and he is in so much love with the Lord that he just wants to talk about the Lord. That's how, like anybody, right? We can talk. Mother is very attached to son or daughter. All this, they want to, you know, talk about their child. Oh, my child did this today. He did this today. Like that, because of the nature of love, you always want to remember and talk about that person. So if you see in Facebook, most of the posts will be, my child is growing now, is walking, is crawling. All these things only you will see, right? Okay. Then other point Srila Prabhupada says is that one is glorifying means, that means it's accepting the personality. So without accepting the personality, there is no glorification. If it's impersonal, how can you glorify somebody? So that's the second point he says in the purport, first paragraph. So now three lines down in the second paragraph, the Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service. As described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod, human being. So, but that means, what are the different activities of devotional service? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnum, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Vinivedanam. So he is always engaged in those types of activities in serving the Supreme Lord. It's not like bhakti means, many people ask, you know, I have bhakti in my heart, why I should show? It's like show off. This all devotees, you know, they just want to chant like dance like a madman, or you know, chant in temple, devote so much time in temple. It's all showing off. But what is love without expression of love? That incident I think we discussed once, right? I don't know, maybe you will recollect when I share it. So Radhanath Maharaj is quoting in one lecture about husband and wife. I think it we shared, right, in the class, or maybe in Mataji's class. In Mataji's class. Okay. So can anybody want to share? Maybe, okay, I'll start. So this is Swami, is a sannyasi, but usually grihasthas take consultation from him, right? So he said common problem, which for them they is very, very unique problem. For each of the couple it's a unique problem, but he knows it's a common problem everywhere. It's that wife comes and tells, my husband doesn't appreciate me anymore. You know, he doesn't love me anymore, he says. He doesn't love me anymore. Then Maharaj comes and talks to the husband, oh, what is it, you know, you don't love her, your wife anymore. No, 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 I love her. What do you mean I don't love? She knows, she already knows it, I love her. What is there? No, but do you express, you know, her birthday? Do you greet her? Or, you know, do you give her one rose once in a while? Or, do, you know, like these examples. No, why do I need to express? She already knows I love her. So, no, but then there is expression of love. If, no, the love, if is there, it has to show up. Spontaneously, it will come out, right? Spontaneously you feel like, I want to keep my wife happy, you know, I will probably once in a while give her a day break, and maybe I'll cook for her something, whatever, right? So it cannot be just like, you know, I'll keep it in my heart and anyway she will know it. In her dream she will know. So that's the same, he is giving a practical example like that, you know. If you have so much love for Krishna, always we want to talk about him, we want to do service to him, we want to always think about him. Now it's very natural. So then, third point, so two lines, continuing with the same thing. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. So he has a strong determination that I want to achieve that love for Krishna. So that's his determination, okay? Determination is at there towards the end goal, not about 2 years, 3 years down the lane, I'm going to achieve this and that's all, my determination is gone. It's until he gets that pure love, he will be determined. Then the fourth point, to achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. So, you know, mind, body and words. So, manasa, vacha, diya, what's Karmana Manasa. Yeah, there is a verse in Nectar of Devotion. So, Iha Yasya Haredase Karmana Manasa Gira Nikilasvahi Avastasu Jeevan Muktausa Yuchate. So, that verse says that one who engages with body, mind and words fully, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead while in this world, he is already considered liberated. right? You know, because these are all the activities, are all the senses are engaged in serving the Lord, then he's as good as liberated because he's no more in this world.
It's kayika, vachika and manasika.
Oh, yeah, body.
In Vishnu Sahasranamam it comes kayika, vachika,
manasika. Okay, so that's the fourth point. And then last fifth point is in the third paragraph, last two lines, where Prabhupada talks about determination. So determination means we have to observe fasting as prescribed by our acharyas, Goswamis, especially Ekadashi, appearance day of the Lord. All this, one of the significance of all this fasting is it gives us determination. So somebody may say, oh, I'm not determined Krishna consciousness, what should I do? So make sure you follow this prescribed fasting things properly. Luckily, you know, today is Ekadashi, we are able to discuss some Krishna Katha, so very fortunate. So last two lines, Prabhupada says, the Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired success, result. So because they are so determined in the sadhana bhakti, they are assured success. Success is for sure for them. So these are all the qualities. So I was just, today only I was hearing some other like very very different lecture, but very nice. Or rather yesterday, I was hearing Radhakrishna Prabhu's lecture in Gita Nagari. He was talking about some qualities about faith, how faith affects the behavior or yeah, something related to that. But he talked about this verse or earlier verse. He was talking about Mahatma and giving an example. Yeah, maybe not that. Radhanath Maharaj's lecture today I was listening where he was telling... Okay, somewhere source. I know the point at least. Yeah, so he was telling that Prabhupada once seemingly was praying in front of the deities very intensely. So one disciple comes and says, Prabhupada, you know, why are you praying? You're already pure devotee. You're already, you know, nothing for you to pray for. No, why you're praying? He said, I'm praying that I don't fall down. Then he said, okay, why you're praying that you don't fall down? You're already pure, you know, you'll never fall down. He said, because I'm praying all the time, I'll never fall down. So because he's, you know, that's the thing, you know, because he's taking shelter of Krishna all the time. Mahatmas, they take shelter of Krishna all the time. They, you know, they seek shelter of Krishna all the time. Then Maya will not touch. Doesn't mean this because you are like, you know, once a pure devotee, always a pure devotee. It's not like that, right? Even Bharat Maharaj had to come fall down because he left the association of devotees. So, our Guru Maharaj gave one lecture called Race is not over until it's over. That's his standard term, right? So, we say almost there, you know, okay, let me now relax. That story is there, right? Of what are the two animals? Rabbit and tortoise. So, rabbit thinks, okay, I'm almost there, you know, let me relax. Tortoise is anyway coming slowly, you know, it will not win me and all. But then he nicely takes a nap, tortoise slowly goes steadily and he crosses the line, right? So slow and steady wins the race rather than, you know, going fast and then thinking, okay, I'm getting too advanced, you know, maybe I should slow down. I'm getting too advanced. So instead of that, yeah. So Prabhupada also is a very good example of how he exhibited these qualities of Mahatma. Another thing which I wanted to share was, like, for example, we discussed earlier, right? Whatever Prabhupada said or did is become like a Shastra. His morning, his normal conversations is Shastra, right? Morning walks are Shastra. His letters are Shastra. The Shastra means they're saved for few, like for example, we use it for reference. We quote it and say Prabhupada said this. That means it's done, you know, that everybody has faith in this. So now, yeah, so much potency actually, so much potency. Like now we are creating this Facebook page. Now we're sharing all the analogies and stories of Prabhupada's and incidents and whatever he shared in his classes, which I usually quote, right? I find it so useful and interesting, or rather nourishing, and I find it very appropriate with the subject that it's easy to understand. So I thought of saving them, you know, properly with reference and everything, and now we wanted to share it to the audience, like broader audience. We are seeing such a response actually. Amazingly, people are, and nothing, it's not like what I wrote, or it's not made, like nobody will appreciate if I say something like, you know, my child is now running or something. No, that's why Prabhu, I was sharing Prabhu, you know, it's the amazing response we are getting. I'm sure it's going to be successful. Then he said, of course, if you do it without motivation and do it for not our own, it's not our own stuff, people will appreciate. It's like who is interested in your own stuff, what you're doing. But you know, if it's Prabhupada, or you know, it's in what Prabhupada pastimes and how, you know, Krishna deals with his devotee, those things, and naturally it attracts all, it's generally you know, attractive to everyone. So even now, after 50 years, actually August 15th, this 2015, it's the 50 years of Srila Prabhupada boarding the Jaladuta and coming to USA. So there's going to be a big celebration everywhere in honoring that festival. So it's going to be 50 years since Prabhupada came. But still, how much he's alive, right? By his books, first of all, and also by his activities. So much. You know, just one incident we share about Prabhupada, it enlivens us, right? We become so close to him.
What's the name of the rest?
Oh,
the light of something.
Light of Godhead. You accepted, right?
Yeah,
I accepted. Yeah, you. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Not now. I will probably send a link. It's there on the our website. You can, in the email we send, the audio recordings link is there, right? You click that. That's the website. There, right side, you can like that page. Okay. So, text number 15. Jnana yagnena chapiyanne yajjanto maam upasate ekatvena pratatvena bahuda vishvajo mukam. So here Krishna talks about three types of people who worship Krishna indirectly. They do not know that they are worshipping Krishna actually. So they are worshipping Krishna indirectly. Three types of people. So which are they? Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. So three types of people. They engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge. Jnanis basically. Supreme Lord as one without a second. That means they worship themselves as the Lord. That is impersonalist. And second category is as diverse in many. That means Lord is everyone is God. That means all the demigod worshippers. And third category is the universal form. So he's talking about impersonal worshippers, or you think that they are God. And the second category is demigod worshippers. They worship like, you know, God is, everyone is God. And third one is universal form. So these are three different categories. So we will see how they are. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about hierarchy of how they, you know, where do they fit in with respect to the people who we talked about, four kinds of people who come to Krishna earlier. So we will read the purport, first paragraph.
This verse is the summary of the previous verses. The Lord tells Arjuna that those who are purely in Krishna consciousness and do not know anything other than Krishna are called Mahatma. Yet there are other persons who are not exactly in the position of Mahatma, but who worship Krishna also in different ways. Some of them have already been described as the distressed, the financially destitute, the inquisitive, and those who are engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. But there are others who are still lower, and these are divided into three. First one, he who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. Second one, he who concords some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that. And the third one, he who accepts the universal form, the Vishwarupa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest. Those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monists, are most predominant.
We can pause there, Mathi. So first, Mahatmas are described here. Earlier, Krishna talked about four kinds of pious people who approach Krishna, right? 7.16. What is that verse?
One who is distressed.
Yeah. Artho jignasur artati jnani chaturvidha bhajante maam. Yajana Sukrutana Archana Artho Jignasir Artati Jnanicha Bhartarishpa. 7.16. So these are pious people who approach Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are distressed and who cultivate knowledge and wise and financially destitute.
Inquisitive,
financially destitute. 7.16. So still lower. So if we look at the hierarchy, you can write down this hierarchy so it's easy for you to understand. So bottom you can write Mahatmas. Of course the order will be from top to down reverse, but I have written down here so it's easy to write. So bottom you can write, give some space, and down bottom, at the bottom you can write Mahatmas. You can write the words also if you want, like 7.14 and 15. No, sorry, 13 and 14. Then above is, sorry, 9.13 and 14. Yeah. So above is four types of pious people. So which is 7.16. And above that you can write universal, people who worship universal form. Above that is people who worship demigods. Above that is impersonalists or Mayavadis. And you can put an arrow like saying that, you know, the best is at the bottom. You know, the best devotees are Mahatmas, the lowest are the impersonalists or the Mayavadis. So actually if you notice, actually universal form worshippers are much better when compared to even demigod worshippers, are considered higher and more favorable to Krishna. So in text number 11 to 12 on this chapter, already Krishna discussed the first class. First class is the people who worship the himself as a supreme. No, is it 11 and 12? What is 11 and 12? No, in this chapter only. 11 and 12, Krishna, they say it's discussed the first category. Yeah. Yeah, mudas, you know, who think themselves as Lord, right? 11 and 12 we discussed already, mudas. They think themselves as a Lord. So that's... Yeah, human, Krishna is human being, that means also Mayavadis, right? They think, you know, he's like an ordinary human being. We are also Brahman. When the modes get covered, where we get eliminated, then we will become God. That's their point. So that's that one is discussed in 11 and 12. And so you can write in the chart you wrote down, that 11 and 12 you can write down, right? For the in-person, Mayavadi is the first one, again the first one, you can write 9.11 and 12. So demigod worshippers are going to be discussed later on, but universal form worshippers are discussed from 16 to 19 in this chapter, 9.16 to 19. So from 20 onwards, he's going to talk about demigod. 20 to 25 is demigod worship. Okay, I think somebody should read the chart and also the verses against it. Or everybody got it?
People who consider themselves as God, it is like 9.11 to 12. People who worship demigods, 9.20 to 25. People who worship universal form, 9.16 to 19. Four types of pious people, 7.16. Mahatmas 9.13 and 14.
Yeah. Okay, very good. I also don't have it. It's very interesting thing. Okay, so now we'll cover how Krishna talks about how he can be seen in this universal form, 16 to 19. That's why I wanted to cover till 19. So these are very short verses. So hopefully we'll complete it. Text number 16. Aham kratrur aham yajna svadaham aham anushadam mantroham aham evagnyam aham agnir aham hutam. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire of the and the offering. So he is saying now all the elements, again it's him. So we talked about in earlier 7th chapter, right, where he talks about he is the essence of everything. The taste in water. So many times this thing he repeats many times. Like in 11th chapter also he talks about these things. How he can be seen in this universal form or in this universe, in this world. So he's telling, I'm the ritual, I'm the sacrifice, I'm the ancestors, I'm the herb. There is earlier verse, I forgot to look it up. There's one verse, remember, we discussed where he talks about, you know, when the consciousness is Krishna consciousness, then whatever is involved in the sacrifice also is of the same quality. Yajna or I should have looked it up. So where it's, you know, the ghee becomes Krishna, the fire is Krishna, the ultimate benefit is Krishna, and the person is involved is also Krishna. Because the whole act we are doing is to please the Lord. So everything becomes spiritual. That's what it means. Ah, correct. Which verse? Which verse is that, you know? We can look it up easily. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. What's the first line? Yeah, it's 4.24. Very good. Can somebody give pencil, Mataji? Yeah. No, how do you remember this? He memorized?
This is my favorite
Ishtaka. Wow! Today is dedicated to you. 4.24, yeah. So, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is also same spiritual nature. Because his goal is Krishna consciousness, or his mood is to be please Krishna, so whatever ingredients is employed in his activity also becomes spiritual. This practical example is like, you know, if our heart is to offer to Krishna, then if we cook, right, whatever knife we use or whatever board we use or vegetables we use, these are all become spiritual now, because they are all employed in the transcendental service. So that's the same point he is saying here. We can read the last four lines. Vedic sacrifices. Last four lines. 16.
In other words?
No, yeah. He started to read already.
Yeah.
In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna. Or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas.
So that means people who have already taken to Krishna consciousness have fulfilled all the regulations of the Vedas that we discussed several times, right? There's one verse at the end of one chapter where Krishna, maybe it's 8th chapter, I think. Yeah, not 8th, so I don't remember. Okay. So, text number 17, continuing the same theme. Pitaham asya jagato mata data pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara riksama yajur evacha. I'm the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajurvedas. This is a very, very, very significant purport actually. So he is saying he is the father of the universe, the mother, the support, and grandsire, and also different other, many other points. So we'll read the purport.
The material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word Dhata means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the grandmother and grandfather are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only towards Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a
progressive step
towards understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, the Pranava or Omkara is very prominent. It is understood to be Krishna.
So we are all Krishna.
So the people will be like, we
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically, we are simultaneously one and different from Krishna, right? Like it all, that's how Achita Beda Beda Tattva. So at certain some places we can emphasize the oneness, some places we can emphasize the difference. So here the emphasis is on the oneness, that we are all part of Krishna. So we are all actually Krishna's energy, so we are all one with him. We are one with him. That's what he is saying. You know? One in purpose, Prabhupada says. Whenever we say we are one with the God, means we are one in purpose. Not like, you know, merging and losing our identity and things like that.
Surprise, they don't use that. The Mayavadis don't use this.
Yeah.
One in purpose?
One in purpose means, like, for example, when we, right now, our we have independent desires apart from the Lord, right? So Lord or spiritual master wants us to do something, but we want to do something else. That means our will is not aligned with Lord's will. Our purposes are different. So Krishna wants something and from us, and we want something for us. Right? So, like, something, sometimes it's even very opposite also. But when we become more and more purified, we'll become one in purpose with the Lord. So whatever Krishna desires, we also desire the same. Pure devotees, they desire only Krishna's desire. Krishna wants to, you know, take all the souls back home, back to Godhead. That's what is pure devotees' desire. They want to assist the Lord in that desire. That's all. They're living for that reason. That's all. Nothing else. So that they will become one. It's not like, okay, now 90% I will do that, 10% I will do something else. Right? Then it's not one aligned completely with the Lord's desire. That's our meaning of becoming one with the Lord. One in purpose. So this point where, you know, I haven't gotten a deeper meaning to this until I heard Govindcharan Prabhu's lecture in San Jose on this verse. You can look up that if you want. I don't know the title. This verse, then when the way he explained, I felt, you know, oh, I never encountered this purport, you know, where is it? Then I saw it was so deep. Basically what he's trying to tell is, whatever relationships we are trying to have here, actually we should see how it's connected to Krishna. It is connected to Krishna, because we are all part and parcel of Krishna. If we don't see it, then we are living in a very, that's called Maya, right? Maya is that which is not, Prabhupada defines. Maya is just the existence of that which is not. The real thing is, we are all related to Krishna. We are all connected to Krishna. To see everything related to that, that is the real knowledge or real, you know, that is Krishna consciousness. But if you don't see it, then it's Maya. So that's what he's saying, you know, we have to see our parents, our children, our fathers, our everybody as Krishna's part and parcel and connected to Krishna. And we have to act in that relationship like that. Not separate from that, not separate from, okay, Krishna is separate, like, you know, oh, now my parents will say something, now they become more when compared. No, it's not like we are weighing against Krishna. You see, Krishna consciousness is one side, but all my friends and relatives, my family members is on one side. So I have to weigh, you know, what devotees say versus what my family members say. You got the point? Some people, you know, in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we don't have full faith in Krishna, right? We don't have full faith in devotees. So we, for our shelter is our relatives, our family members and whomever we are familiar with, right? But if they are not devotees, what advice they will give us?
Drag us.
But then we don't have that full conviction. So we weigh the advice given by devotees against the advice given by our so-called well-wishers or family members. And we think they are equal and we compare and go one way or the other. See the point? But if we see everything connected to Krishna, we should then see how, whatever are they saying is going to bring us closer to Krishna, or whatever they are saying bringing us closer to Krishna, then we should choose that option which is going to make us closer to Krishna. Of course, observing the etiquette and things like that, you know, we can't outright be disobedient to parents and things like that, but, you know, this is the test Krishna is seeing. You know, do you want me? That's what he's asking. In all the choices, day-to-day choices, that's what we have to show to Krishna. In every choice, are we choosing Krishna? Choosing Krishna means Krishna's will is coming through devotees. Are we abiding with the, like, so-called instructions of the devotees? So, you know, all the family members, everybody are connected to Krishna, but at the same time, if they are illusion, they don't know themselves how they are connected to Krishna, they are going to mislead us. Right? So even though we see that's what this verse is there, right? Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini. Like, you know, a learned person sees a dog, dog eater, and the pebble and the gold, every bird, everything equal with equally. Right? But the purport of that verse or the analysis of that verse doesn't mean that, okay, a saintly person will embrace a tiger. He'll go next to the snake so that, you know, snake is a snake soul also, snake also has the same soul. So I'll sit and embrace the snake. He doesn't do it because he knows these are all spirit souls, but he also knows they are going to act according to the modes they are being situated right now. So I'm going to respectfully deal with them according to that. Actually, there is a saying that even a saintly person kills a snake. Right? Because the snake is by nature is going to be envious, it's going to hurt people, it's only going to come cause harm. So it's going to take appropriate action so that he can preserve other living entities. So similarly, even though our parents, our siblings, our relatives, everybody are part and parcel of Krishna, if they have not, they are not manifesting that by actively engaging in devotional service, that means we have to deal with them that much, with that attitude only, depending on our consciousness and how much we want to go closer to Krishna. But if we overly get attached or overly reveal ourselves or hear from them submissively, then our Krishna consciousness will go down. Because we have the six exchanges, right? Loving exchanges between devotees. What are the six loving exchanges? That's called the six aspects of association as given by Rupa Goswami. That verse in Nectar of Instruction. What is that verse? Yeah, that English we know. I'm remembering the verse. That's Utsaha Nishaya Dairya. That's the earlier verse. Pratigrihnati Dadati Pratigrihnati Guhyam Akya. Oh, I think I have not recollected this verse for a long time. Guhyam Akyati Prachati Bhunte Bojayate Chaiva Sadvida Priti Lakshanam. Krishna. Okay. So this is a verse. It says these are the six ways we associate with devotees. Dadati Pratigrihnati. Dadati means one gives and Pratigrihnati one receives. So giving gifts, receiving gifts. Bhunte Bojayate Cheva means I offer prasadam and I accept prasadam. Then last one is what is Sanskrit, I forget now. Revealing one's mind submissively and hearing submissively. Revealing one's heart and receiving the instruction submissively. So this is the matter of heart again, right? To reveal one's dealings or issues in devotional service, it's a matter of heart, it's a matter of devotional service. It's a very, very confidential subject. That we should not do to non-devotees. Then we are taking shelter. We are taking association.
If we do relationships between devotees.
Exactly. This is how the association between devotees, this is how the love increases between devotees. This is the way, this is what we should do with devotees. But the same things if we do to non-devotees, the love increases with them, so called. Then that means it's the lust only, right? It's going to just drag us down. So the heart, you know, the issues we face or the crisis we face, the situations we are facing, these things we should reveal wholeheartedly, you know, openly with devotees, and at the same time seek their advice also submissively and apply it. But if we do that with so-called family members who are in a position of guardians and things like that, then the advice they give is going to penetrate the heart again, and it's not going to help us because they are not situated in fully in devotional service. They can give based on their experience, all those things, we can take it to that much. Like for example, you know, I was asking my dad is not like so, not a devotee, right? He's like, no, very, very much into materialism and things like that. But you can take certain advice based on which they are good at, right? Again, not taking shelter, but you can take help. So I was asking, you know, we want to purchase something, you know, we have some Microsoft stock. He is very good in stock market, all those things. He knows all those things. So I was thinking, you know, but we don't so much investigate, you know, stock is going up, what's the future way, how to, that so much knowledge we are not cultivating. So if we get some advice quickly from somewhere, we can take it as Krishna's instruction and go on, right? So I asked him, you know, what do you think, daddy, like we have, know, some amount in stock. Certainly now price is a little bit more better than where we purchased. So it's better to sell the stock and get that money, or get a loan and use it for purchasing something. So I was asking his advice in this regard. Like, you know, then he was saying something, but then I felt it was okay, because I'm not like, it's not revealing heart, but I'm actually engaging him in Krishna service. If he helps some way or the other, I was asking him to give some money, so which I can return later. By doing that, by helping devotees, you know, they are doing Agnata Sukriti. So everybody got this point very clearly. So revealing heart and hearing submissively is a very, very confidential subject matter. No, it's a matter of heart. It's going to affect your devotion service. So that we should do only with devotees. Any questions, or anybody finds very conflicting or controversial?
Sharing our thoughts to our relatives and everything, and that one is like very, very. I'm like so confused about this. Like, how can.
Also, you cannot have like association of devotees all the time, right? There are certain times, you know.
Yeah, that's, we have to build it up. That's the whole thing. You know, we are talking about goals. This may not be right now like this, right? But our idea should be, okay, this is what I need in order to make further progress. See, certain progress we can make easily, you know, staying alone, away from dissociation. We'll make certain amount of progress. I'm not talking about quantity, I'm talking about quality now. So to go beyond that level, we need to come closer to devotees. Need not be physically closer, but in this way. Like, you know, revealing one's heart and taking always advice and, you know, following day to day whatever is going to happen in my life. That brings us very close to, because then our life is guided completely. It's under Krishna's direction. Then they are going to, so experienced devotees can tell us, okay, from this step what to do, next step. That's why we need Guru also, right? Guru knows how to take us to that highest level of pure love for Krishna. Otherwise we can do our own, right? All the rules, everything are given by Prabhupada only. Books, everything is given. So anybody can say, oh, I'll chant 16 rounds and I'll do some service. Right? That's good enough for me.
So Mataji, are you saying that, so discuss the activities related to material nature with your, you know, relatives and, you know, when you need that kind of guidance.
Exactly.
But when it comes to spiritual matter,
exactly,
and how to progress,
yes,
further, then you have to have association of devotees.
Yes, you have to, yeah, take shelter, you have to take advice from devotees in that matter, or a more experienced devotee. That's very natural, right? Take, for example, Prabhupada gives this example. If I have a leg pain or something, I don't go to a, tax consultant, right? I go to a doctor, right? And if I have some financial issue, I don't go to doctor. I go to some financial person who helps me in financial, expert in that area, right? So if I'm talking with the progress in devotional service and I'm stumbling here and I'm falling down, I'm going to ask an expert in that area who is more experienced, who is available nearby to me. But if I ask somebody who doesn't have faith in Krishna and who himself doesn't want to surrender to Krishna, then how is he going to help me? He's going to tell me, "Yeah, don't worry about it, you know, any like that, right?" You may not detect it, how it's going to affect you actually, but you know, other experienced people can tell you actually. Because the same thing, if you would have asked somebody, devotee, you would have gone further, closer to Krishna, but now you are not.
Just to add, then I was just saying that on material things you should approach me, is that right? I thought, always seek guidance from...
Yeah. Yeah, that also you can do under the guidance of devotees. Like, you know, they may tell you, for example, take a particular, for example, I think Radhakrishna Prabhu once, he told one person, like, you know, he has a psychiatric problem or something. Then, then he told that, you know, he probably it's too much conditioning for him. He may not be able to solve, like, for example, he has anger problem, one devotee. So then, you know, it's so much anger, he's not able to control every time he bursts out and these things. Then he said, right, of course, he hears so much, you know, anger, we should control, he should do so many chanting, everything he's doing. But still is not coming, means then he said, probably he should see a psychiatrist. He told very clearly, he should see an expert in that area. Psychiatrists are expert in that, you know, dealing with anger and things like that. He should take help. He told very clearly, very nicely actually. But see, if he goes like go to Socrates now under his direction, that's very good. Because the devotee is advising him to take help, so-called help. Got it? Overall, we are under the care of, who is the person who is under whom care we are? Is it my boss at work? Is it my father-in-law? Is it my devotee? Got it? Everything is under his purview. Whose purview? Who is that? Who is that person whom we are under? That's what exactly. Spiritual master or
there's a subtler problem there, Mataji. I was thinking of how to phrase it. Right? So most of the times you discuss things based on how you are related to people, right? That's one thing. The closest you can ever get is a friend. Right?
Mm.
So there are things that you share with your friends that you are not going to share with anybody else, your closest friends.
Mm.
So that is probably what is going to drive it, right? So associating with devotees is okay. So, you know, let's say I have gambling addiction or I'm a drunkard, right? I'm chanting and trying to chant and I'm trying to give up alcohol, but I'm really struggling with it. If I go and say, talk to a devotee, they will say, yeah, it's just, you know, do this, it will go. But, you know, somebody who has been through that pain is going to say, yeah, okay, do X or do Y, I don't know. I'm just quoting on like a gambling problem. So, that time, you know, I don't know how it will help, right?
That's what she said, go to an expert.
Right.
Go to the
but,
expert.
No, but under the direction.
So, if I have a gambling problem, will I bring it out here?
Yeah,
right?
You should. That's the whole thing. We have to come to that step actually. Right now, if we are not feeling comfortable or we don't find a person whom we feel we can share whatever is in my heart, means either the person, there is no person like that who is trustworthy in your mind, or that I am not ready enough to take full shelter of devotees. But that's a step higher. We should have an aim after this discussion that we should have a person, a devotee whom any problem, any mistake I make, I should be able to openly share. Any mistake, I'm not talking about problems everybody faces, it's easy to share because it's due to external circumstances. But can I share the mistakes, the fall down I'm making? Can I share my pitfalls to a devotee openly? That's the confidentiality. Once we do that, that's where Krishna's mercy comes through. Because that's when we are fully taking shelter of Krishna through his devotees. We need to have the devotees actually. Yes. We need to have those devotees and we need to also become like that. So it's our qualification and also such a person existing. So I can share my incident actually. I don't know, somehow initially when I came to Krishna consciousness, I took it up with so much earnestness, right? Because I didn't have any other solution in material life to solve my problems. I exhausted all the options. So then I thought this is my only option, Krishna consciousness. Then I was investing in it and then somehow, you know, I found devotees, my mentors, whom I felt trustworthy because they were helping me, leading me through this dungeon and getting me to the, you know, spiritual path, right? So definitely they are my well-wishers. So I come and maybe, you know, I am very naive that I completely trusted them, but luckily by Krishna's mercy, they are still helping me. They didn't cheat me, that's what I'm saying. So what happened, I was not married. And then my spiritual master asked them to, of course we share the same spiritual master, so my spiritual master asked them to look for a boy for me, because I approached him, spiritual master, then he said, you know, I cannot deal with this, so they are grastas, so they can deal with helping you with finding a boy. So then they were helping, I don't know what, but then and I, of course, you know, once in a while I used to go to their home and there used to be a regular program we used to attend. And in that discussion, they were asking me, you know, okay, what is your age, give your bio data and all these things. So I filled up all this. So we were more intimately mingling now when compared to just discussing Shastra and giving verses and, right? It's more now, I'm personal problem they're dealing with, right? And in that course, I don't know, something happened that, I don't know, maybe I blurted out or something that I shared something happened before I became a devotee in my dealings with, you know, boys or something like that. So little bit I shared something and then of course Prabhu understood, okay, this is important to know for marriage to consider. Then he asked, you know, what exactly happened, can you tell? Then I told, actually I was hesitant, but then I had trust that even I share this, he is not going to let me go. I had the full faith that he is seeing me something beyond this. He is seeing me as a person beyond all my faults. You see the point? We need to find a person and have faith in that person that he is seeing me beyond all my faults. So even if I reveal my fault, he is going to accept me because he is seeing me as a soul actually. But with our close friends, they don't see us like that. They see our position, our, you know, so-called good character. When they are revealed that, you know, okay, I smoke once in a while, maybe some friends give us up, right? But devotees don't give us up because they are seeing us as souls. No, if they are that advanced. At that faith, you see the point now?
I didn't think of it that way, yeah.
Yeah, so I had that faith and lucky, that's what happened actually. There was nothing, I didn't even trace a slight change. It was a very, very personal thing I shared. I cannot even share with you now, no? What mistake I did, no? It's a very, very bad thing, no? So that I could share with him, with so much confidence actually, with him actually, the Prabhu. That's confidence, taking somebody in confidence, they say, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
I see what you're saying.
So, you know, that I didn't even trace a single slight change in his behavior after this actually. No, because that's what devotees do. That much we should be lucky if we find such a person. And if we should be lucky that we should be ready if we find that person, that we can see that person. That's why, you know, Krishna is in front of us, we cannot see him, right? Maybe the devotee is in front of us, but we are not able to see, right? So that's the point. So you say at least some little bit, it's better, Mataji, now it's better? Okay. So very heavy, right? That's why I said today is going to be very interesting. Okay, so we'll do the last two.
He mentions only the three Vedas. That's the fourth one.
There is a fourth one. Like his second last line.
No, that's in the purport.
Yeah.
The verse when Krishna speaks.
Yeah, I don't know why he says. There is some deeper meaning which I don't know.
Just
yeah.
Curious, I said, yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know now. I can look it up, but there's some, I don't know much. Yeah. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 18.
Gatirbartha Prabhu Shakshi Nivasha Sharanam Surud Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam.
I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. So here Krishna gives more things how what he is. Prabhupada in the purport elaborates on all of that. So basically goal means destination, right? So Krishna is a goal, gati, where we want to go. We want to achieve Krishna. So I am paraphrasing this because of the time. Then he is a sustainer. So he maintains everything. He is a master. He owns everything. He is a witness. So as a Paramatma within our heart, he is watching all our activities. He is the abode. That means his abode is where we need to head towards. Because he is not different from his abode. He is a refuge, shelter. And he is the most dear friend. Because his Paramatma, he created us. He is the most dear friend. Right, you know, he wants only our well-wishing. Only our... he wishes only well for us. Most dear friend. Today, I was hearing Radhanath Mahan's lecture. He was telling about Paramatma. He was discussing that each of us, Krishna is so merciful that each of us has individual personal Paramatma with us. Very nicely you're saying, you know, each of us has a personal Paramatma. Lifetime to lifetime, that personal Paramatma is going to come with us and, you know, watch out what we are going to do. He is so merciful, even a small bacteria or small ant also has a personal Paramatma with him. So nice. And he is the most dear friend. I was sharing one incident, right, earlier. One incident happened very striking to me. My brother was in US, right? He was attending Masters. I shared once, right? And he was graduating, he asked us to come. But he was into bad habits because of association and by his nature. Into all drinking, smoking, everything, he picked it up actually. India maybe he was not doing, but here he picked it up because nobody is there, no shelter, right? They check more shelter of all these things. And he was living with a roommate and very unclean circumstances. So we thought, you know, naturally we go and stay with the brother, right? So we are supposed to stay with him. So there was a separate room we were staying. So next day I was trying to take bath in the bathroom. It was stink. He cleaned poor thing for so much, but it was bad, bad. So much stinking smell everywhere, urine. So I was thinking, I'm trying to shake shower and I'm standing here and somehow I couldn't handle, I was crying actually. Then I think maybe I called Prabhu and then he came and said, you know, I cannot stay here, you know, we have to go, I cannot stay here. Then immediately we booked a hotel and we stayed there. I didn't say anything with my brother. He cannot even understand what I'm going through and everything. But realization which occurred to me is like, you know, I'm so-called his sister, but I'm not able to tolerate his so-called uncleanliness. Then I felt, you know, Paramatma is there within his heart. He's tolerating everything he's doing. Every thought he's thinking, every desire he has, every nonsense thing he's doing, Krishna is tolerating. No, Paramatma is tolerating and he's still wishing that someday he will turn to me and I'm going to give him guidance and I'm going to show him the path to come to me. No, that is his well-wishing friend. Then I shared this realization with Radhakrishna Prabhu in the class. Then he told, once you have this realization, your life will never be the same, he told. I didn't have the deeper realization, but he told, once you have this realization that Krishna is your well-wishing friend, your life will never be the same. That means, you know, you will not, no more, you know.
How does that tie into this? Did you go back to your brother's place?
No, I had this realization that I'm not as magnanimous as the Lord. Rather, you know, as a sister, I'm not able to... That means my love is not as much as Krishna's love. That's the realization I had. Right? As we say, if friends and relatives are very close, right? Sister is so close.
Our problem, what we do...
Exactly.
That they can't bear. But Krishna, who is,
exactly,
who is so opulent, he's bearing us. Our
exactly. So that's what why our life will never be the same means... If you have that much faith, when you have issues, when you have problems, you take shelter of devotees. Again, same point. Take shelter of Krishna. You don't take shelter of somebody who is fallible soldiers. Bhagavatam says, our wife, children, they are fallible soldiers. At the moment of death, they are not going to help us anything. Unless they are devotees. Unless they are devotees, they are not going to help. Many incidents Radhakrishna Prabhu was telling in his class, how rather relatives are just counting, checking, you know, what he has written in the will. And some people will be praying, when is this guy is going to die, so that I can take the property and go away. That's what we will see at the moment of death actually. If nobody is a devotee, that's what we will see. So-called children, so-called, they are just going to steal, they are just there to eat our flesh or steal our money, unless they are devotees. So one incident Radhakrishna Prabhu shared that one of his god sister, she was passing away. She had cancer. She knew when she was going to pass away and go into critical situation. She had a lot of property. She wrote all the property to the deities in that place. Then all the relatives are very, very angry with her and very, very, angry and not at all happy with the situation. Then our spiritual master, same spiritual, Kamal Krishna Maharaj, got to know about this. Then he told her, don't do like this. Give some property to your relatives. Said, no, why should I give? You know, they are no good. No, I will give to Krishna, that I will get better benefit. Then he said, no, you do it. It's your instruction. I'm giving you this instruction, do it. Then he said, okay, I'm going to write. And little bit she wrote to her relatives. Then he said, the import, why he gave that instruction is, he told, let them be favorable to Krishna. If they are happy, they will become favorable to Krishna. Otherwise, their whole life, they will curse Krishna. They will curse devotees, they will curse Krishna. So let them be favorable to Krishna, give something. So she gave and they were all happy and everything became very peaceful. In another case, the devotee trusted the relatives. So she wrote the will beforehand all to the relatives. So it became so difficult situation that the relatives created so much havoc in the house that they didn't allow devotees to chant when the person is passing away. They didn't allow even to take the body, you know, because they said you didn't have legal right. So finally they put her in a case, you know, plastic bag, and they dragged her. And then somewhere, at least they got an opportunity to give some tulsi water or something, they told. Some Ganga Jal or something they gave. But otherwise, they just dragged her. Because, you know, now body, she's gone, right? Will they already have money? They don't have anything, right? What do they care about? So they just dragged her out and that's all, dumped her. So see, now the difference of taking shelter of relatives versus devotees. Okay, so, next number. 19, last verse, we just few lines we have to read in that. Tapami aham aham varsham nigranani utrajami cha amritam chaiva mrityuscha saddasacchaham Arjuna. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. So this is a very important point Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here. Both spirit and matter are in me. So for Krishna, there is no difference between spirit and matter. So we'll read from fourth line, fifth line down by analyzing all these different energies of Krishna.
One can ascertain that for Krishna there is no distinction between matter and spirit, or in other words, he is both matter and spirit. In the advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, one therefore makes no such distinctions. He sees only Krishna in everything. Since Krishna is both matter and spirit, the gigantic universal form comprising all material manifestations is also Krishna, and his pastimes in Vrindavana as two-handed Shyamasundara playing on a flute are those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm. So for Krishna, there is nothing of matter and spirit. That's why when he comes in his own form, and all everything related to him becomes spirit now, spiritual. So he sees only, and also similarly pure devotee also sees Krishna in everything, right? So there is a very nice verse, I never memorized this, the verse it says that for a pure devotee, whatever he sees is Ishtadeva. Ishtadeva Spruti, he remembers his Ishtadeva. So we have all of us have a favorable deity or a form of Lord we are attracted to most, right? Somebody is Rama, somebody is Shyamasundar, somebody is Madhava, somebody is Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, so many, right? Different forms. So the pure devotee with pure devotion, whomever he sees, whatever he sees, he just remembers that particular form of the Lord. Just know that Lord is, like Prabhupada gives an example. He gives and somebody appreciated a rainbow or something. Very nicely, nature. Very nicely appreciated. It's so beautiful. Then if a person is Krishna conscious, a pure devotee, they will immediately think that, Radhakrishna was giving this example. If you are remembering Krishna all the time and you are very jovial and you are walking on the road, you are thinking about Krishna and walking on the road, somebody comes across and says, wow, what a beautiful sun. Then you will immediately say, yeah, it's a beautiful sun, yeah, the Lord created a wonderful sun, right? Something. Immediately you connect them also to Krishna. So he was telling it's how important for us to be Krishna conscious, so we can also connect everybody whom we meet to Krishna. So Prabhupada also, one incident he says, somebody appreciated the nature, then he says that, if you appreciate the beauty of the art, how much more you will fall in love with the artist. That's very nice. We collected that story actually. We should publish it sometime. But yeah, I don't know the exact phrases. Yeah, so then three lines, Krishna says, Prabhupada says, since Krishna is both matter and spirit, the gigantic universal form and Shyamasundara playing the flute, they are same. So universal form is so-called materially comprising and Shyamasundara activities are spiritual, transcendental. They both are identical. That's why a person who sees Krishna in the universal form also is seeing Krishna. It all ties into that same point, right? One of the three demigod worshippers seeing himself and also seeing universal form. So that's the same point. Seeing a person who sees universal form or Krishna in universal form is actually seeing Krishna. So one story we shared once, right? I just will summarize it, right? Once Prabhupada was traveling with Indradumna Maharaj Indradumna Maharaj is traveling with Prabhupada in the flight and they were watching TV. Then Maharaj was trying to, chant verses and things like that and Charlie Chaplin show, and Srila Prabhupada saw that. Later Maharaj got to know that, why Srila Prabhupada watch the show? We are not supposed to watch the TV. Right? So what answer did he get?
Anything original is attributed to Krishna.
So everything original comes from Krishna. So Krishna, Charlie Chaplin's humor is original. So I am seeing Krishna in him. What are you seeing? That's what Prabhupada said. I am seeing Krishna in Charlie Chaplin's humor. But what I use, VAC probably, Charlie Chaplin and I'm getting some sense, mind gratification or, some gratification, right? But he's seeing Krishna in that. Because he's seeing that anything original is coming from Krishna. So that's one story we can end with.
Yeah.
so we can end here. Do you have any questions or comments?
So, the universal form of Krishna is what? Universal form, is it the universe?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a universe only. There is a bona fide way to see how a universe is made, is a Krishna's form. There are descriptions given in Srimad Bhagavatam in details, like for example, trees are considered his hair on his trees on the universe. Hills are considered, for example, sun and moon are considered his eyes. The bona fide way, when you see the nature, you can see it as part of the Lord, but this is considered an imaginary material form. It's not transcendental form. Because once the universe gets dissolved, this form dissolved, then Lord cannot have such a form, right? So it's an imaginary but bona fide material form. But by meditating like that, somebody can become Krishna conscious. Come closer to Krishna day by day.
In the hierarchy that you gave, right? The Mahatmas are on top. The next one, you have four types of pious people.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the people who worship universal form be next to that? Because four types of people who come to Krishna are again for their kind of for their own desires, right? But here people who worship universal form is not tied to their desires.
No, but still they may be tied to their desires, but still the conception is a little bit lower. Because universal form, the conception is impersonal a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They are seeing God as impersonal energy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, okay, anything great happens, hurricane happens, oh, it's Lord's energy. It's Lord. You know, they say material nature is God.
You're not talking about
Vishwarupa. I thought Vishwarupa is universal form.
I don't think
it's... No, it's Vishwarupa only. But they are seeing mostly, you know, for example... People like to do nature walks, right? They say, you know, I appreciate God in the nature. Why should I go to temple? So that is there. See, but the four kinds of pious people, they would rather go to temple.
Yeah.
Because they accept, they appreciate the personal form of the Lord.
When you said universal form, even like Prabhu, I also thought it was Vishwarupa.
Yeah.
It's Vishwarupa only, but that form cannot be meditated, right? You see that form in the nature. Okay, we can stop here. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.